It's time to sit back and take a break with Loopback Games. Hello, welcome to Break Time with Loopback Games. Marty here, and today I'm going to talk about a game called Cornish Smuggler from Grublin Games. It's a game where you take on the role of a smuggler, so selling and buying illegal goods, which gains you a reputation and money. But obviously, there's a bit more to it than that. There is customs. For those that don't know, there was quite a lot of smuggling back in the day around Cornwall in the United Kingdom. The Royal Navy had big time difficulties in controlling it, and so did the customs. And there were some infamous smugglers operating in and around Cornwall. So it's a very thematic game from there. So the game is, it's a turn-based game, and in each turn, players take actions one at a time, using gold or influence or reputation to perform those actions. And that keeps going and going until the end of the game is triggered, which is when the customs counter reaches the end of the customs track. So I guess that represents when customs have really taken over. Or when the last goods shape is purchased, which I'll come on to what that means in a minute. So when either of these have happened, the players finish their round and spend any remaining resources and so on to see who is the greatest smuggler of all time. And that's it in a nutshell. But there's a lot of nuances in this game, and I think it's been generally overlooked by large parts of the gaming community. So I ended up finding it when I was looking for a ship sailing slash pirate board game, because I have a few, but it's kind of something I'm really interested in, both in the hobby and outside the hobby, really. I have an interest in sailing history and maritime history. So it was really nice to find this kind of game. Now, quality-wise, we'll start off with quality. So you get a few things in the box. There's a really big, nice board with nice colours and some nice thematic kind of sea monsters drawn on it. And it's part sea and part land. So basically one of the features of this game is that when you land goods, you have to move them to somewhere to sell them. So you have to first get your goods across the sea into Cornwall and then move them across Cornwall to your, maybe to your warehouses or to cities or towns, which are going to make you the most money from them, because not everyone can buy your goods for the cost that you might want them to buy them at. But obviously that is going to increase the customs presence. So every time you start selling goods, the custom agents, that which are little markers on the board, move around and move closer to you, and they can confiscate your goods. There's various decks of cards. There's some fantastic ideas in this in the form of ally cards, where each round there is four allies available for purchasing. And these are divided into four broad areas. So there's religious figures, there's people that specialise in trade, there is officials, so that's like bribing customs officers and so on. And there's an unskilled kind of jack of all trades, I like to think of it. And you can buy those, but you only have that round to make that decision, because at the end of each round, each of these character cards vanishes and a new one is drawn. So if you have someone there that you really want, you have to kind of go for it then, or you're not going to get them. And that's added quite an interesting dynamic of how you spend the resources in this game, because there are three essential resources. There's gold, which is the currency of the game, and you gain that by selling your goods, and you can use it to hire people, you can use it to bribe customs. So if those customs agents are getting a bit close, you can maybe move them or stop them from moving. You obviously use the gold to buy goods, and you can use the gold to get reputation, and gold is one of the main ways that you're going to win this game. So let's talk a little bit about reputation. We mentioned it a couple of times. So reputation is your standing in the community, not your good standing necessarily, but your general standing in the community, because people might be, thematically, it could be people scared of you or people are in awe of you. People might be happy because you're smuggling in some stuff that they want. So you'll have a certain number of reputation, and at the start of each turn, you'll gain an amount of influence that's equal to this reputation. And you can gain reputation by hiring characters, and you can buy reputation with gold if you're feeling you're lacking. I think the book says if you're feeling you're lacking the proper respect from people, you can use your gold to buy that reputation. And the reputation you have is added to your score at the end of the game. So it's important to have some level of reputation. But it's this idea that the reputation dictates how much influence you get at the start of a round. So influence is the third resource in this game. So each turn you'll get one influence for every reputation that you have. And you can gain more with some secret cards, because there are also secret goals and secret things that players might be doing. But you can also get them from some of the character cards. Influence is the main, or one of the main ways that you will be doing actions. So when it comes to your turn, each action that you can do costs you a certain amount of either influence or gold, usually. So moving a ship one space across the sea costs you either 3 gold or 1 influence, and then you can move your ship. Moving goods on network counters, so this is how you set up your sort of smuggling network across Cornwall, that can cost influence or gold. Moving customs officers can cost influence or gold. Buying reputation only costs gold. Hiring characters costs influence or reputation. So it's one of the ways of generating action points in the game, and because it's so closely linked to your reputation, it doesn't necessarily stay the same for all players through the game, and it doesn't necessarily stay the same for you through the game. And that's quite an interesting idea, to try and balance your actions for gaining more reputation, which gives you more influence, which gives you more actions, compared to the actions that you need to actually win the game with huge amounts of gold by selling goods. One of the nice kind of additions to this game is that when you're setting up, you'll be playing a certain person with a certain ship, and these ships have got cargo holds, which are actually boards with spaces, with like a grid of spaces, and some spaces are crossed out so you can't use them. And when you go and buy your smuggled goods to smuggle into the United Kingdom, you have to go to a space where there are little tiles of different shapes. And when you buy these goods, the bigger the shape, the more it's going to cost, but the more it's going to make you, hopefully. But you have to be able to fit them in your ship, so you can't just go and buy any old stuff. So there's some that are like L-shaped. Think Tetris, but for smuggling ships. So there are some T-shaped ones, some L-shaped ones, some just straight ones, some square ones, some rectangular. So you can't just buy them all up. You have to be able to fit them on, and the size of them, so they're like each square made up of individual squares, dictates how much money you expect to spend to buy them, but also how much money you expect to make selling them. There's quite a lot of stuff around moving these goods around Cornwall where you have to avoid the customs, and the customs are constantly getting more and more involved and more aware of the smuggling as the game goes on. There's like a customs track which is marking that, so every time you land goods that might advance. It also makes it harder to bribe them as there's more and more of them. To win the game, it's a really straightforward method for winning the game. Once either the customs counter has reached the end of the customs track, or the last good shape has been purchased, not sold, purchased, so you can never actually sell all the goods in this game, the game will end after that round, and the person with the highest gold plus reputation is the winner. It's really simple, really straightforward, but obviously there are some secret cards which might change that. There are things that you might get at the end of the game from certain character cards and so on. So you can never be 100% sure. The cards themselves are really nice. They're a thick card stock. They're nice to hold. They're a nice size. They are clear and concise. They're not cluttered up. There's various wooden markers for the players that represent their ships and their smuggling network. And obviously there is markers for the gold and the reputation and influence and the goods actually that you're buying and selling. And the ship boards that you have are on really nice, really thick cardstock, really glossy, really nice artwork. The artwork in the game is kind of, it's almost period, so it's not like photorealistic or anything. It's like hand-drawn artwork, the kind of thing that you would expect to see in the newspapers sort of in the golden age of sail. The rule book is all right. It's again the paper stock, it's thick, it's glossy, it's broken up into like sections, and there are boxes. Everything is put in boxes of explanations, so each concept kind of has its own box on a page. So there's, for example, there's one page about characters, which has an introductory box, and then there's a separate box about hiring them, a separate one about losing them, and so, and the separate box about what each part of the character card is, and so on. So that's really good. It's really clear, and there is a really helpful quick reference on the back which covers all the actions you can do, the procedure for selling goods, and the goods price list, which is probably the most complicated part of the game, is selling the goods, because it depends on the good size and the reputation that you're using to sell and how big the town is that you are selling them. So that's probably the most complicated part of the game, but it isn't overly complicated. It's not a game-breaking complication that halts the game for like 15 minutes while you work out what you're doing. It's really clear, it's really concise. And overall, this game, you know, playing it is really fun. It's kind of, even for me, it kind of goes under my radar. It doesn't hit the table as much as I like. And even just talking about it now to record this episode, it's kind of making me want to play it. It's a really nice game. No one, as my wife would say, it's a nice game. No one dies and I win, because she is quite good at these sort of games. It's got that nice sort of pick up and deliver concept as well, and almost an adaptation of hidden movement with moving the goods around, hiding them from the customs officers that are moving around as well. So overall, if you like simple, smuggly, pick up and deliver, maybe a hidden movement, if you like those kind of things, if you like games that are thematic towards sailing or smuggling, or Cornwall, if you like Cornwall, I love Cornwall, it's been way too long since I've been to Cornwall, then this is something you would probably enjoy. And it's come from a board game publishing company that is small, or relatively small compared to a lot of big games, and they have really, I think, done really well in here. I would give this game a solid 7 out of 10. It's so much fun to play. It's so much fun to try and almost role play some of it, where you kind of get into your character trying to influence these little wooden customs officers. It's a really good game. Cornish Smuggler, evade customs, outwit your rivals, secure your fortune from Grubbling Games. Fantastic. So there won't be an episode next week. I am having a week off from everything just to recharge myself. So there won't be an episode next week, but we'll be back the week after. So until then, stay well, stay safe, keep playing all your games, and we'll see you soon.